Your Bibles, John chapter 10, John chapter 10. We'll read the first 11 verses. We're going to attempt to do so today. We're going to go through all of the chapters until John chapter 10. Of course, we're going to do an exhaustive study. We'll keep you here till next week. But it's important to understand what John is talking about when we read the Gospel of John. Yes, it is the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that, but that is a theme in the book of John. But it describes the Messiah, it describes the Savior as a giving Savior. He is consistently giving. And if there was anybody in the history of the planet that has consistently been trying, the world has tried to stop from giving on a consistent basis, it was Jesus. It's not only the leaders of the day, but many who have rejected the message of eternal life. And yet, that never changed his mission. And to this very day, he's giving life where there's nothing but death. He gives freedom where there is bondage. Jesus Christ has never stopped being the giving Savior that he is. And it's that we truly celebrate this season. John chapter 10, verse 1. Truly, truly, I say unto you. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. We're discussing that today, this familiarity that Jesus and God has with us. He calls his own sheep by name and lead them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The stranger will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep.
Amen.
Jesus, in every chapter of the Gospel of John, is seen giving. Giving and doing for others, and yet in every almost in every chapter, we can see that the leadership of the day, the Jewish leaders of the day, were looking to minimize, to intervene, to criticize, to laugh, even to blaspheme his person and his work from the very beginning. In chapter 1, our giving Savior is seen in creation. And the Word of God is the title given to our Savior, Jesus Christ. Our giving Savior, Jesus Christ. Nothing that was made without him. Jesus Christ is already being introduced early on in the Gospel of John as the very giver of life. Verses 1 through 9 describe and proclaims him to be the life and the light of men. And in verse 12, it says, he gave those who believe the right to be called the children of God. Yet the religious leaders of the day quickly attempted to intervene and question John the Baptist, the one who was chosen by God to make straight the way. In John chapter 2, here the Lord Jesus turns water into wine. Right, even the ruler of the feast acknowledged that the Lord had given the very best. Jesus gave truth of himself, but he is not like anyone. He did the miraculous to give us just a hint at what was to come. Wine is always pictured both in the Old and New Testament as a picture of joy. But the wine that the men tried is the joy that Christ fire. So they were always coming out with the first, and you know, eating and drinking that they were the fact is the very best, we're not even really thinking about it anymore. It sort of fizzles out. It was good at first and then lost its pleasure. The word does that. It gives you a shot of really joy that a flat soda is diluted to fizz, so to speak. As we grow older in the Lord Jesus Christ, it should be different. If we continue drinking of the living water, you will have life. But the promise of the Lord goes beyond that. It says, I don't know if you will have life, but you can't be afraid of life. Praise the Lord. You can also have life upon that. Right here. Amen. In chapter 3, I'm going to skip this one. In chapter 2, Jesus also called the temple of the wicked idol of materialism. And the zeal of the Lord consumed him, which fulfilled Psalm 69:9. The Jewish leaders wasted no time in questioning his authority to disrupt the flow of, shall we say, business, in which he gave a divine answer that they just could not understand. He said, destroy the temple. This is where my authority comes from. You destroy this temple, and I will raise it up in 3 days. They didn't know what he was talking about. He gave truth, and truth was rejected. In chapter 3, we find one of the most known verses of God's selfless giving to the undeserving. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We also see in chapter 3 that the Lord Jesus gave himself to Nicodemus and revealed some truth that according to the Lord, as the teacher of Israel, Nicodemus should have understood. He should have understood what Jesus was talking about. He had said, Nicodemus refused to believe his testimony at this time during his encounter with literally God manifested in the flesh. Jesus always had the spiritual in mind when teaching, but the teachers of the day could not get past the physical and the world. In chapter 4, the Lord is praising God leading our family. And as he does, the question of the Jews to take the longer and Samaria to reason to avoid going to Samaria. Despite the critics of the day, and firmly believe, as many of you, that Jesus had a divine appointment here at this time. Very quickly, Jesus introduced himself. Listen, Jesus introduced himself as the gift of God. That's what he told the Samaritan woman. The Samaritan woman quickly points out the first quenching substance in Jacob's well. Immediately went to the physical. Jesus once again teaches that if it's in the world, then it's temporary. It's temporary, and you will thirst again. But as the living one, he can quench your thirst, your need for life, for forever. The giving Jesus does not give temporarily. It's not how he rules. When Jesus gives, it's eternal. Until, not only the giving Jesus, this giving Jesus does not give temporarily until your life of power runs dry as someone falls to teach. The gifts and calling to borrow according to his word are irrevocable.
Amen.
Now, only was this married woman saved, not only did she save, but a town of people in verse 42 said that we have broken ourselves and know that this indeed is Christ, the Savior of the world. Jesus crossed cultural and religious barriers to give of himself to a despised people. And that divine appointment was more fruitful than 1,000 encounters with the Jewish leaders and Samaritans before it. In chapter 4, while we do not see confrontation with the Jews per se, we do see that there is something that displeased the Savior of the world in verse 48. Jesus said, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. You're constantly looking at the physical. And as long as you keep looking for that, for joy and life, you will not believe. You will never tap into the best thing that God has planned for you. Jesus said, unless you see wonders, you will not believe. The Samaritans simply heard by their own testimony. We heard them ourselves. And therefore, we believe that he is the Christ, the Savior of the world. They simply heard. That's what the Word of God says, does it not? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing. The Word of God from Romans chapter 10, verse 17. In John chapter 5, Jesus gives a total change of life to an impotent man. You imagine, I can't imagine, it's hard for me to imagine not being able to walk. I've walked all my life. I can't imagine being unable to walk. To one that cannot walk, the Lord gives legs so that you can. There are many spiritual lessons in this, but for now, let's focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and his marvelous gift that the Lord has given to this impotent man in John chapter 5. The Jews, after he gave healing to the impotent man, started to slay him because he did it on the Sabbath day. There clearly were no concerns about the Sabbath day. As Jesus pointed out in Matthew chapter 12, verse 11, and in Luke 14, 5, Jesus told them that they would save the Sabbath sheep if they come to a ditch on the Sabbath day, if they have to. They circumcised on the Sabbath, according to John chapter 7, verses 22 to 23. So a sheep was worth saving. A child worth circumcising on the Sabbath. But this impotent man not allowed to be made whole on the Sabbath. That being said, in defense to the Jewish leaders of the day, in Numbers 15, verses 32 through 36, a man was stoned to death for collecting sticks on the Sabbath. So were they not justified in stoning Jesus for this? Was Jesus merely pointing out that if they break the Sabbath, then he should be able to break the Sabbath as well? No, that's not what this was. Jesus was pointing out that the Sabbath was a day of rest and not a day to forsake mercy and kindness. So far, no matter how many criticism, no matter how many threats are buried, no matter how many, no matter, Jesus was and continues to be the giving Savior. In John 6, Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company that ate it,
and he desires to satisfy our hunger.
It's just the nature of our giving Savior. Another miracle in giving the Savior feeds 5,000. I have worked in kitchens, in hell kitchens, that serve 200. And I was out of my money. And it was an undertaking, it was quite an undertaking to say the least. I cannot imagine the logistics of feeding thousands of people, especially with the kitchen inventory that was available. Five loaves of bread and 2 fish. This was a miracle that the disciples will always remember, but one that the selfish and the shrewd will soon forget. Jesus said that some saw him not because they saw the miracle, but just for the bread. As discouraging as that may have been, he still offered himself for all and who the very bread of John chapter 7. And he taught them what that meant. And ironically, in John chapter 6, verse 66, many of his disciples went back. They just couldn't understand that truth. They couldn't accept it, that you needed to take me into you. We didn't get it. And that's how Jesus Christ from being the giving Savior.
With that body?
It most certainly didn't. And in John chapter 7, Jesus feels the rebellion of his heart. His own brothers, for selfish reasons, the reason of hatred for their brothers, for Peter, the Lord attacks. They attempt to give him to John.
It's on their story.
Speak before the hope that we can deliver at the feast of tabernacles. Jesus offered the thirsty once again. In John chapter 7, verse 37, in the midst of that type of hatred, they come to him, and he proclaimed that the kingdom of God tried to take him, but he's not with him. While many believed on him, he was continually rejected by many as well. Did he stop being the given Savior? He most certainly didn't. In John chapter 8, Jesus is surrounded by those that want to. In the temple of the I would imagine that a few months of that meeting would be better than years of the seminary. That being said, as if you come from the enemy, the teaching gets corrected when described in the Pharisees who caught a sin in adultery in the very act of doing it. Interesting. Wonder who the man for his very
good in book is on that trance. I'd be down.
Jesus is coming and as anyone could be,
Jesus
just starts and begins to react, especially when he wrote. But he stood up and said, he who is without sin hath the first stone. May the sinless one who did prove be the first one. And he took them together and started to write. And the Lord tells this, and then leave one by one. No matter how you hear, the only sinless one that could said, neither could you.
Exactly. He said, or something.
And sin. The woman is at the base of stoning. One encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ and
wonderfully that
forgiven and given instruction and I can show that we would be absolutely cool. May I suggest to you that every sin that comes accused of your sin before the Lord will find forgiveness for condemnation is truly deserved. Jesus gives mercy. He gives instruction and judgment. I've never expected myself in the ill personal life to find the mercy and the grace that I found in God, because it's exactly what Jesus was giving me. So much more in this particular chapter, in chapter 8. The Jews wanted him to say it, who he was. But he was saying it all the way. They didn't listen. That means that we were in before Abraham was. Remember Abraham in Israel, the one the Jewish leader. Jesus said, before Abraham was, the one that they were going to follow, he carried in there. The one Abraham was to someone. Jesus said, and yes, once again, they wanted to kill him. And they being so. This would be enough to discourage any man, wouldn't it? I mean, everywhere you turn, you're trying to. You're giving of yourself, you're giving of you were told by your father to give, you're giving the life, you're giving healing, you're giving instruction, and all you were getting was. Yet, Jesus continued to give. Here we have a sort of repeat situation in chapter 5 where the man is healed on the Sabbath. We do not have a great miracle. The word began with the testimony of the man who was given his sight back in verse 32. Confused on whom to understand mercy and believe Jesus as the Messiah, and they asked the man out of the temple, and the son of Jesus came to the man directly and asked whether he believed in the Son of God. The man asked, who is he? And I believe Jesus said to this man who was born blind. He said to this man who was born blind, who has never ever seen before, or given his sight back, he said one thing he's never heard any man has ever seen. You have seen him. You have seen him. What a wonderful way to open your eyes and see the Savior of the world. And it's he that talks with you. Jesus gives a man a new life by restoring his sight, and he gave warning to the Jews that they are still blind, that they don't believe on him. Throughout the whole book of John, we see a giving Savior. And then we come to John chapter 10. Way up the break for this one. Thank you so much for me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, your Son, the one whom you gave. That whosoever believes should not perish but have eternal life. He was an exact representation of your image. He was so given. He never stopped giving of himself, of your truth, giving life, giving healing. He gave up until his last breath. This is whom we want to think about this season. A giving Savior. May we be like him and expend ourselves as poured out drink offerings for your sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.